Good morning. The December 15, 2021 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding a hybrid virtual meeting in an effort to be in compliance with local and state regulation regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in those public hearings. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action item to be presented by the staff, other business, staff reports on current projects, activities, informational reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. Our first order of business on our agenda is the approval of the agenda by the chair and board. Is there a motion?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. This is Dr. Shabazz. I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please signify by stating your approval.
Aye.
State your name, please.
Pamela Bernard.
Aye, Dr. Shabazz.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Tom Caiafa, aye.
Tom Hutcherson, aye.
Do we have everyone? Is that all? Okay. Now we will move on to committee reports. And the first report up is ACAT by Pamela Oglesby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation, ACAT, met this past Monday, December 13, 2021. At ACAT meeting, we approved and endorsed several items. We endorsed the fiscal year 2022 UPWP, Unified Planning Work Program Amendment. We also endorsed the draft of the fiscal year 2023 UPWP, Unified Planning Work Program. We endorsed the December amendments to the fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIP, Transportation Improvement Program. And we endorsed the 2022 Safety Performance Management Targets. I would like to go back to the December amendments to the 2021-2024 TIP. At that portion, we did have a concern. One of the items, things that are being amended and added to the 2021 through 2024 TIP is improvements to CAT bus stops. And I had a concern because I've been complaining about one CAT bus stop not being upgraded, and it is at Oglethorpe and Bull Street. It is considered historic. So it's sitting on the city right away. ACAT has no representative coming from the city of Savannah to our meetings, and CAT tells me they cannot upgrade the bus stop because it's historic and it sits on the city right away. I'd like to ask this morning that someone from the city please start coming to ACAT meeting so that CAT representative and the city can work together to work out just cleaning the bus stop. I know it's historic. It cannot be changed, but it needs to be cleaned and some grass needs to be put in and the sidewalk needs to be level with the ground because someone in a wheelchair or a visually impaired person could get hurt at that bus stop. So I just wanted to put that in so that someone from the city can hear this and know that we need a representative at ACAT meeting. The last thing that happened was we had a public participation opportunity and a lady, Jessica Mathers, joined us and she let us know that she was concerned about the issue that I brought to you, Mr. Chairman, last month, about the paratransit driver shortage, buses breaking down, and the fact that paratransit riders are getting to appointments late or not getting to appointments at all. So she did bring that concern to us, and I promised her I would bring it back to you once again. We gave you some information in part about that last month. Thank you.
All right. There's nothing that she said needed any action, am I correct? All right, except we don't notify CAT of those concerns, excuse me, of those concerns about that bus stop and then have the city of Savannah and CAT get together with the members from the ACAT, okay? All right, CAC, Dr. Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Michelle Hunter on behalf of Dr. Brantley, the chairman of the CAC. The CAC committee met on Thursday, December 9th at 5:30. The committee members reviewed and endorsed all action items. Thank you.
All right. TCC, Ms. Bernard.
Thank you. The TCC met on Thursday, December 9th. The action items, including the December amendments to the fiscal year 21 to 24 TIP and the amendments to the 2022 UPWP and the 2022 safety targets were all endorsed by the committee for approval by the board. I was honored to be reelected as the TCC chairman for 2022, and Mark Wilkes was elected as the vice chair for TCC for next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Executive Director Report, Mrs. Wilson.
I am wanting to let you know that there will be a few changes based on the new money that is coming out, and I'll go into more detail about that when I get some additional information at your next meeting. But there will be a few tweaks that we need to make to some of our policies.
Okay. So now can I get those tweaks or those reports before?
Yes, you'll get them before. I'll make sure that I will brief you when I get the final information. They okay. Just let me know that there will be some tweaks.
All right.
Needed.
We move on to action items. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the October 27, 2021 core MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Nope. This is Dr. Chavez. I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the October 27, 2021 core MPO board meeting minutes.
Second.
All right, some property motion by Dr. Bass, seconded by Commissioner Milton. Are you ready for the question? Please vote, signify who you are, and you'll vote in the affirmative.
Dr. Chavez.
Tanya Milton.
Aye. Pamela Tom Caiafa, aye.
John Gillen, aye.
Tom Hutcherson, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Do we Rick have Larson, everyone? Okay. Anyone else? All right, it stands approved. All right, then we go now to fiscal year 2022 UPWP. Amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Wilkes for Quorum PO staff. In October, the TCC recommended and this board approved Pooler's funding request for the US 80 corridor study using CRISA funds, the COVID Relief and Recovery Supplemental Appropriations Act, more specifically, in the amount of $285,000. We are following up with the board on the calls for projects. One of the things that we're doing this month is to move that study, which was in the illustrative section of this year's UPWP, into the funded section of the UPWP to help line it up for the funding contracts that will be coming. So that is the amendment proposed today, and staff is recommending approval.
All right, being recommended for approval, is there a motion?
I so move, Mr. Chairman.
Second, Tom Hutchison.
Hold a minute. Let me say this again. Please signify who I is. All right. Say your name so we can make sure that the records are correct. So let's go back to Ms. Ragland.
I'm Valerie Ragland. So move.
Tom Hutchison. Second.
Hutchison, second, Valerie. And okay. All those in favor, please signify by stating your name and your vote.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Tom Hutchison, aye.
Eric Larson, aye.
Tom Caiafa, aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Continue. Do we have it so you can share your screen? Is that what?
Are we ready to move on to the 2023 draft, okay. UPWP?
Yeah.
Okay. Today we are also bringing to you the first draft of the fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program. It is the proposed Quorum PO staff work program for fiscal year 2023, which begins July 1st of calendar year 2022. It details the staff budget and work projects to be undertaken in support of the federally mandated 3C, that is continuing cooperative and comprehensive transportation planning process. It details the funding, the staff work, and the budget allocation for the specific work tasks. We primarily rely on two federal planning grants that we get each year, formula grants, the PL, the Federal Highway Administration PL grant, and the FTA Section 5303 planning grant. Both grants require 20% local match, which come from primarily MPO dues. However, in the case of the FTA Section 5303 grant, GDOT is still picking up half of that local match for us, which we greatly appreciate. The funds from these grants can only be used for planning, and any funds that we do not spend in a given fiscal year are forfeited and go back to the state. Those funds are then pooled, and we are able to apply for those twice a year in March and September to do special studies and required planning products. So as far as the formula planning funds for 2023 go, we're estimating a total of $628,418. That is an estimate at this point because I don't have a final word from GDOT on the PL grant. So we're assuming level funding with the current fiscal year. The formula Section 5303 grant funds total $178,240 matched, and those are the actual amounts from our FTA, from our 5303 grant application, which is being submitted this month. As I said, when we don't spend all of our PL funds in a given year, they go back to the state. We have a chance twice a year to apply for those funds. There's a wide range of studies that we can do with those funds. The prioritization criteria favor required planning documents. However, having been through the process for several years now, I'll say that they're just as generous to non-required planning studies. We did have a request from CAT during our one of our recent calls for plans and studies. So we have added four requested studies from CATH. They're still in the illustrative section of this coming year's work program until we can sort out some details about timing and that sort of thing. In addition, each year there's normally a limited additional amount of FTA Section 5303 funds that are available on a request basis. They have to be requested early in the process during the grant application, which, as I mentioned, we're submitting this month. Also requires a 20% local match. So just to give you some idea of what we've done with discretionary PL funds in the past, we've done in 2018, we received two awards, one for the interchange study at I-16 and Little Neck Road, another for the interchange at I-95 and Airways Avenue. In 2020, we got a discretionary 5303 award that we used to help CAT buy software tools to help with planning and data. In 2021, we received discretionary PL awards for the State Route 21 Access Management Study in Garden City, and for the State Route 307 Corridor Study in Chatham County, which we'll be having a progress report on later in the meeting today. In fiscal year 2022, just this past September, we received the nod for the MPO Freight Plan update and the Urban Flooding Model and Planning Tools. So the process, it's gotten to be about to the point where it's about a half year process to update and maintain the UPWP every year. We did a call for plans and studies in September. We developed the 2022 transit planning tasks way back when we adopted the current fiscal year UPWP because of the timing. It decided that it just needs to be a two-year UPWP in terms of the transit funds. As I said, the FTA Section 5303 grant application goes in this month. The MPO staff is publishing, rather, or transmitting the UPWP to Federal Highway Administration and GDOT once the board approves, hopefully later this week, for a 30-day review and comment period. Once we have those comments, we will respond to them, update the document, and right now the schedule is to bring that back to this board in February for final approval. The deadline for us to get an approved document to Federal Highway and GDOT to have our funding grants lined up for next year is March. So we're gonna try to hold to that February deadline to give us plenty of time. And then a couple of steps after that that are in gray because they're completely out of our control once we do our part is FHWA approval. But if we get it to them in February or March, there should be no problem getting an approved document prior to June 30th of 2022 and executing funding contracts timely. The focus areas for the coming fiscal year will be the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, the congestion management process update. Both of those are in-house efforts. The MPO freight plan update, for which we are currently selecting a consultant. Also the urban/regional flooding model. We are in the process of selecting a consultant for that study as well. And another effort that you're going to be hearing about probably about six months from now will be the 2020 census urban area delineation. This will determine what our MPO boundaries need to be going forward so that, depending on what we get from the Census Bureau, that could easily cause us to have to expand the MPO a little further into Effingham County or into Bryan County. And then we have to look at representation, look at the bylaws, the dues formula, all of that. So these are the main tasks. We've divided the budget up into just a handful of categories: administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, transit planning, special studies, and funded, both funded and unfunded, I should say, and I neglected to add the CAT studies. I did update last year's presentation, and it was my bad not to have included the CAT studies, but they are in the document that's before you. So rest assured, the four requested CAT studies are in the document. So we are working with CAT. This is a slightly underscale budget exhibit. Just shows the total funding. One thing that I am showing in here that we haven't normally shown is the COVID relief funds, which gives the budget a bump up to just over $1 million in total. But that's $285,000 from the federal government that requires no match. And we felt like that was a really good opportunity to get a regional corridor study done that would be difficult to pay for any other way. And that was one of the main reasons that we supported it. And that concludes my presentation. Again, we are recommending that the board approve staff to release the draft to GDOT and Federal Highway for a 30-day review period.
Okay. Let me first ask now, are there any comments or questions from board members? Anyone? All right, may we have a motion to give the staff approval?
So moved, Sean Gillen.
Second, Tanya Milton.
All right, it's been properly motioned by Sean and seconded by Tanya. Are you ready for the question? All please vote. State your name and your vote, please.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Valerie Ragland,
aye.
Tom Hutcherson, aye.
Nick Palumbo, aye.
Dr. Shabazz, aye.
Eric Larson, aye.
All right, we have all votes in. Okay. Let me, Mark, let me ask you now before you leave, because I heard you say in your presentation there are some hard dates, right? February.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you need and who do you need it from?
Well, the comment period is primarily for Georgia DOT and Federal Highway Administration. So I expect the bulk of the comments, although we could certainly receive comments from anyone on the board or advisory committees that we would need to address, but it's primarily for GDOT and Federal Highway Administration review. So once approved by this board, then I'll simply transmit the document to them and we'll have about 30 days till we hear back.
Okay. Once you transmit it, then there's a 30-day comment.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to make sure that all board members understand that's when that will do. Now you give them approval to transmit it. Once they transmit it, then that 30-day window open up.
Yes, that's correct.
The staff will let you know when that window open up. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. Make whatever comments you need to make or do whatever we need to do so that we can stay on task, okay?
Yes, and the next time you see the document, it should have incorporated responses to any comments that we do receive.
Good, all right.
This is Tom Kapp from GDOT Planning. We will make the effort to review that document and get back to you as soon as possible. Just double check, this is the UPWP.
This is the draft fiscal year 2023 UPWP, correct?
Okay. One other caveat with this is that the numbers that are currently in the 23 UPWP are not the final numbers because we have not received those from FHWA yet for the total the amounts. If they're not going to be that much different, they might be a little bit higher. So that's the only caveat we have, and we will transmit those as soon as we get them. But other than that, I think we will, Ned and I will make an effort to have this turned around as soon as possible, but we don't expect too long of a comment period. And without speaking for FHWA, it's probably in the same boat. So,
since your last meeting, a new surface transportation legislation has been approved, which ultimately will be increasing the amount of funding almost across the board for transportation programs, including planning. The uncertainty lies with what happens with our urbanized area. Since it's a formula, since the grants are come to us by formula, whether our share of the state's urban population increases or decreases has an effect on how much money we actually receive. So if we held steady in terms of our proportion of the state's urban population, then we would expect to see more money fairly soon. And be working with Melanie on that in the near future.
All right, all I ask is all of those who will need to get information to MPO, not wait to the last minute so that we don't be in no hurry trying to get things done and make mistakes that come kick back at us. All right. Please do it in a timely fashion. That's the best way I can say it. All right. Let's do it in a timely fashion so that everybody will have an opportunity to dot the I across the T before we, and GDOT is going to work with us. You just heard them say. All right. Thank you. So anything else?
No, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. We're moving on the agenda, the decennial amendments to fiscal year 2021-2024. TIP, Ms. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so the TIP is our short range planning document that lists all our transportation, surface transportation projects in the metropolitan planning area that use federal, state, and local funding. So as projects change, the TIP will get modified to reflect those changes. And so the staff report is going to outline the proposed TIP amendments for December. So from August through September, the MPO conducted a call for projects for Z230 and CRISA funds. Several projects were awarded funding. And so this also required amendments to four highway projects and two transit projects, which are the Chevis Road Improvement, Girard Avenue Improvement, Truman Linear Park Phase 2B, US 80 Corridor Study, CAT's Fixed Route Diesel Buses, and CAT Bus Stop Improvement Program. In addition, in October and November, the MPO received several requests from GDOT and Chatham County for updates. GDOT has requested the following changes for I-95 at SR 21 Augusta Road Interchange. They wanted to add a scoping phase to fiscal year 22 because the project development process has begun. For SR 26 at I-516 CS 180 Victory Drive, the request was to move the utility and construction phase from fiscal year 22 to 23. With both phases receiving a slight increase in cost estimates. And for I-16 from I-95 to 516, the funding source and cost estimate, estimate has been updated for the construction phase in fiscal year 22. And for I-516 at CS 1503, Durant Avenue, for this one, the funding source and cost estimate has also been updated for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 22. For the Chevis Road Improvement, Chatham County requested that the construction phase be moved from fiscal year 23 to 25 in the long range, and for the right-of-way phase to be moved from fiscal year 22 to 23. And this project was also awarded Z230 funds for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 23 and CRISA funds for the PE phase in fiscal year 22. And this request is subject to an official GDOT concurrence letter. And we have the Girard Avenue Improvement Project. This was also awarded Z230 funds for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 23 and for the construction phase in fiscal year 24. For I-16 at SR 17, Chatham County requested the right-of-way phase be moved from fiscal year 23 to 24, and this one is also subject to an official concurrence letter from GDOT. For the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, this project was awarded CRISA funds for its construction phase in fiscal year 22, and also the US 80 Corridor Study was awarded CRISA funds for its PE phase in fiscal year 22. For the proposed transit updates, we have CAT was awarded Z230 funds for the construction phase of two projects in fiscal year 23, which includes the purchase of two fixed route diesel buses and bus stop improvement project. And attached to this staff report are supplemental appendices for your reference, some of which include all the updated TIP project pages, an addendum for the 2045 MTP, also the public notice ad in which we're trying something new, and we're giving people the option to text us their comments. People can text an email address and receive, and they'll receive it just like they would any other email. So with that, the staff is recommending to the board to adopt the TIP amendments for December 2021. Take any questions. Thank you.
Okay, let me first ask, is there any questions from board members? All right, Ms. Menard.
Hey, this is Pam. It's not so much for you, Alicia, as it is for Tom Caffia. If you could help us out with the GDOT, we're still waiting on a letter of concurrence from GDOT for the TIP amendments, I guess, for Chevis and Garrard, at least. I don't know if we also need that for the I-16 at State Route 17 as well.
That letter is currently being routed for signature. Okay. We will get, yeah, that should be coming your way probably today. Ned drafted it, and it's inside our, that should be heading your way shortly.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions from board members now? All right, there is a need, because we advertise this as a public hearing, there is a need for us to open up a public hearing. So may I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
Pamela Bernard, so moved.
Tanya Milton, second.
It's been properly motioned and second that we open up the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify by voting.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Tom Caff, aye.
Tom Hutchison, aye.
Eric Larson, aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? If so, please use the raise hand feature on your screen from the public. Is there any public member here present in the auditorium? Please signify your need to speak. Do we have any? None. Okay. None in the audience. So may we have a motion then to close the public hearing?
Valerie Ragland, so moved.
Sean Gillen, second.
Been properly motioned and second that we close the public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name and your position.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Has everyone voted? Okay. Now let us deal with staff recommendation. All right. They recommend that we approve. Am I correct? All right. So there's I need a motion for.
Pamela Bernard, so moved.
Tanya Milton, second.
The property motion is second that staff request be granted. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name and your position.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Any others? All right, let us move on now, Ms. Hunter, to the 22 Safe Performance Management Target.
Thank you. Okay, the FHWA defines safety performance management as an approach that uses transportation system information to make investment and policy decisions for achieving national performance goals. This approach is a component of the system-level, data-driven process of performance-based planning and programming. And the PVPP uses metrics about the transportation system to establish strategic direction, analyze infrastructure investments, policies and programs, and evaluate outcomes. MPOs must update their TIPs and MTPs to reflect this planning process, as well as develop a system performance report to document its progress. PVPP enables DOTs, MPOs, and transit operators to efficiently allocate resources and maximize return on investment for the multimodal transportation system while increasing accountability and transparency to the public. Performance measures and targets are both quantifiable indicators. Safety performance measures, those are set by FHWA, and they are used to gauge performance and assess progress on meeting the set targets. Safety performance targets are set by DOTs and MPOs, and they are levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. There are five safety performance measures: number of fatalities, rate of fatalities, number of serious injuries, rate of serious injuries, and number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. These are the state adopted performance targets, and in coordination, this is for the five-year rolling average. These targets for the serious injury and the serious injury rate, they are impacted by recent updates to the state's crash report. So it'll take a couple more years for the injury targets to represent a more appropriate measure based on the new definition. And so as an overview of the whole process, state DOTs will set their targets annually, and their progress is assessed by FHWA. Then state DOTs will share those targets with MPOs, and MPOs can either adopt the state targets, set their own targets, or do a combination of both. And then MPOs will have until February 27th to adopt their performance management safety targets. And the targets for MPOs are not assessed annually, but they are reviewed by FHWA as part of the ongoing planning process, a review like during a TMA certification. In coordination with GDOT, CORMPO staff agrees to support the state adopted performance targets. So today, staff is recommending to the board to adopt these safety targets for the CORMPO planning and programming activities. Are there any questions?
All right, do anyone have any questions for Ms. Hunter? Any board member? Hearing none. Let us go to the recommendation coming. Yes.
Yeah, I had to join by telephone. As far as these, these performance-based measures, we'll just need a resolution from the MPO sent to us after adoption.
Okay. All right. So let us now get to the recommendation coming from staff for the adoption. Need a motion.
Tanya Milton, so move.
Sean Gillen, second.
Proper motion is second that the performance management target is and we adopt. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Sean Gillen, aye.
Valerie Ragland, aye.
Tom Hutchinson, aye. Eric Larson, aye.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, other business? Do we have any? Well, we're going to status report for SR 307.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today we have Chris Marcingill on the call. He's our consultant project manager for the State Route 307 corridor study. This study was funded in partnership with Chatham County, GPA, and some NPL discretionary funds that we received a little over a year ago. So we're looking forward to completing this project in the spring, and Chris will go over the initial recommendations.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Can you see my screen, presentation screen?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Again, my name is Chris Marcingill. I appreciate that introduction, Mark. I'm with Kimley Horn and Associates, and I'm the project principal on the State Route 307 corridor study. And what I wanted to talk with you briefly about this morning is our study findings to date and some of the alternatives that we will be recommending as we finalize the report moving into early next year and then wrapping up in the spring, as Mark had indicated. All right, so quickly, I'm just going to go over the study goals briefly and the purpose of this briefing. Quick overview of the quarter. Some of you have seen this information in some of our stakeholder meetings to date, so I will be brief. Some of our findings regarding existing conditions, the alternatives that we're considering, and then our next steps. So first and foremost, I want to talk about the three primary study goals. The first is to identify and prioritize State Route 307 improvements. And then we want to plan projects through the core MPO's Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And then thirdly, we want to help identify potential funding for these recommendations as we're programming actual projects. So the recommendations that I show you today, of course, are not yet projects. They are merely recommendations. Some key MTP objectives to keep in mind as we do a study of this nature, and you are all aware of them. Obviously, we want to improve safety and accessibility. We want to lower the frequency and severity of crashes for all users. We want to improve emergency response times, and we also want to reduce congestion along the corridor and maximize the reliability of freight travel time. So again, we want to discuss the existing conditions briefly, the study alternatives, and then a quick overview of our stakeholder outreach to date. So kind of a busy slide on your screen right now, and I use this to illustrate that the project begins at State Route 25, which is Ogeechee Road, and extends 8.5 miles to intersect State Route 25 again, which is locally known as Ocean Highway, and this is directly across from the Georgia Ports Authority Gate 4, which is their primary gate currently. Along the corridor, we studied 27 individual intersections, and we broke the corridor into 6 distinctive segments, as indicated here on the left. So that's the way the report will be formatted, basically in those 6 segments. They are somewhat unique, and that allows us to talk about specific improvements along the corridor based on the segment. As you can see from this illustration, we have a number of rail crossings along the corridor. And also, as you all know, we pass by the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport, as well as a number of Gulfstream facilities. And there's a number of ongoing development in the corridor. So this picture illustrates what we refer to as the tale of two corridors, if you will. This photo is taken near Garden City City Hall, south of I-16. So a little different characteristic south of 16 compared to the very heavily commercialized industrial development type corridor that we see north of I-16. From a traffic perspective, the traffic south of I-16 was one of the, it's kind of the mid-range in our data collection. And then you can see as we hit segment 2, which is north of I-16, traffic is much higher in the section between I-16 and US 80. And then the overall traffic volume starts to reduce as we get closer to the Port of Savannah. So again, this segment 2 demarcation is approximately where US 80 is. And this one is approximately where product support is. So that'll give you an idea of where traffic is going, primarily between I-16 and product support in the airport area. This slide gives you an idea of what the traffic mix looks like. So it's very clear that we have a lower truck percentage south of I-16, but as you move to the north, that percentage of vehicles in the traffic flow begins to be weighted heavily towards heavy trucks. So in the segment between State Route 21 and the Georgia Ports Authority, over 50% of the vehicles in the traffic flow are heavy trucks, and that certainly stands to reason. This is just a shot of State Route 26, US 80, at the intersection with 307. Obviously, an interesting mix of vehicles there. You have some vehicles that are making the movement from southbound 307 to westbound US 80. You have a good mix of cars in the traffic, but also a pretty high number of trucks there as well. pretty characteristic of what we would see along the corridor. And this is at State Route 21, so getting a little closer to the port, and you can see the existing CSX rail crossing in the background that's parallel to State Route 21. This is also sort of a busy slide, but it does a good job of illustrating where we're seeing problems along the corridor based on the existing conditions. Green balls indicate intersections are operating fairly well, which is a level of service A to C. Yellow is you're beginning to see some backup, which is a level of service D to E. And then a red ball indicates a failing level of service. The diagram on the left is for the AM peak, and the diagram on the right is for the PM peak. This also includes some field observations, and those are the red bars that you see. These indicate long queues. So if you go out to State Route 21 in the afternoon and approach 307 from either direction, you can expect to be sitting at the signal longer, in some longer queues. And the length of this red bar indicates basically the length of the queues that we observed in the field. So this is a mix of field observations and traffic analysis on the existing conditions. Crashes are an important factor to consider in this type of a study. We found between 2015 and 2019, and let me point out that the 2020 was not available when we first pulled the crash data for the quarter. We typically pull a five-year period, and again, 2020 was not yet available, so we reached back to 2015. Within that period, there were 1,500 total crashes, 9 fatalities and within those 1,500, 330 non-fatal injuries, and as compared to other facilities of this type throughout the state, the crash rate was 125 times higher, which is a lot. The cost of these crashes is about $28.8 million per year. So we clearly identified a need for safety improvements along the corridor. This slide indicates where we're seeing the highest concentrations of crashes. So down at State Route 25, Ogeechee Road, pretty high concentration of crashes there. Obviously, the interchange experiences a high volume of traffic and also related crashes, as does US 80, State Route 26, and also at State Route 21, Augusta Road. The green balls indicate the fatal crash locations, and you can see the predominance of those is occurring up near State Route 21 in closer proximity to the port. And a number of those also included tractor-trailer crashes, which typically have a higher severity. We also looked at pedestrians and bicyclists along the corridor to identify needs or a latent demand for bike and pedestrians. There are some existing facilities south of I-16, but north of I-16, the only facilities that were observed are at the signalized intersections. Each of those include pedestrian accommodations, and that's by policy with state DOT facilities. The core MPO non-motorized transportation plan, however, recommends a shared use path for the entire 8.5 mile length of this corridor. So that need and that latent demand for pedestrian and bicycle facilities is something that we also considered as we were preparing our recommendations. We also looked at transit. There's no existing CAT stops along the State Route 307 corridor. CAT Route 3 uses a small portion at the north end of the corridor to access two stops at the airport, but there are no stops along State Route 307. And that is due to the fact that the corridor is outside of the transit district. In conversations with some of the business owners along the corridor and in conversation with CAT, we did identify a latent demand for more affordable means of transportation along the corridor. And a lot of that demand came from the warehouse developments and businesses along the corridor that would benefit from more affordable transportation, especially during their peak seasonal operation times. Obviously, there's a lot of freight movement on and across this corridor. And it's important to note the four primary truck corridors within a study area, which are I-16, obviously 307, and State Route 26 are major truck corridors. And Jimmy Deloach Parkway is a major truck corridor. With the completion of Jimmy Deloach Parkway, we saw a shift in the trucks using State Route 21 to access the port. They're now shifting to Jimmy Deloach Parkway. It's a little, I guess it's more favored in the area than State Route 21. So we saw a change in the traffic mix on State Route 21 southbound, where trucks are now using Jimmy Lutz Parkway more frequently. And we expect that shift to be greater when Jimmy Lutz Parkway extension is completed down to I-16. There are 5 rail crossings along the corridor and approximately 55 trains per day. So you can imagine, you probably don't have to imagine, you've probably been in one of the backups, but those rail crossings do impact traffic flow along State Route 307. You can see that one of those crossings here. This is the CSX crossing near State Route 21. This is the Gate 4 truck entrance at Georgia Ports Authority. You can see lots of trucks lining up at the end of our State Route 307 corridor to access that. And this is the Jimmy Deluxe Parkway intersection that I was talking about. These trucks are queued up, prepared to cross the intersection in an orderly fashion to get into Gate 4 of the Georgia Ports Authority. We've completed a number of stakeholder engagement meetings to date that included 5 focus group meetings. We had an initial meeting of what we call our Stakeholder Advisory Committee. We'll be having another one of those either the end of this year or the first part of next year, most likely the first part of next year, as we complete some additional follow-up with the business community. We held a community needs assessment and identification meeting back in November 8th, and at the same time, we launched an online survey. And we held a public information meeting on the 7th of this month, and we launched a second online survey at that time. During that public information open house, we had some recommendations available for the public to review and also to make comments on. So we're still compiling results from that survey, and we hope to have some good input from the public regarding the recommendations. We presented to the MPO's TCC last week on December the 9th. And then I mentioned the final 2 bullets on this slide a little earlier. So lots of input from the community. We look forward to any input that this board has at the conclusion of the presentation today. So what did we find? Well, we need to reduce conflicts between cars, trains, and freight trucks. And that's going to allow traffic to move more freely and in a more reliable fashion. We need to improve intersections to better accommodate freight movement. Some of our intersections along the corridor are somewhat restricted from a freight perspective. We need to implement an access management strategy to reduce crash frequency. And what that means is it's unlikely that every intersection along the corridor will continue to have full access as we continue to build out the corridor. Vehicles making a left from a side road and crossing 5 lanes of traffic, 4 of which are heavily traveled, obviously has crash impacts or crash frequency impacts, and we want to move to reduce those conflicts and the potential for crashes. And finally, we need to implement transit, pedestrian, and bicycle accommodations along the corridor to address the latent demand that I mentioned earlier. So where does that lead us? For short-term recommendations, which are 0 to 5 years, this is it. This is what the study is heading towards. What do we need to do? So initially, some major intersection improvements will be recommended. A new signalization at Jamaica Run Road, a new signal at Morgan Industrial Boulevard. We will build out auxiliary lanes, or we will recommend building out auxiliary lanes at the State Route 26 US 80 Louisville Road intersection with State Route 307. This particular project, the auxiliary lanes, will carry the viability of an at-grade intersection to a certain point within that the period from now to 2045, which is our horizon year. And then we'll need to do something else to that intersection. And I'll talk about that in the long-term recommendations on the next slide. GDOT is currently working on a project to incorporate connected vehicle technology for freight vehicles on State Route 21 and on State Route 307. With this technology, there would be in-cab indications or communications with drivers telling them about conditions at the Georgia Ports Terminal and also the approaching roadways. So as we make any improvements along 307, we want to consider that freight vehicle network or connected vehicle network and then expand it to incorporate any improvements that we've made. The next category is not a project per se, but it's more of a policy or strategy. We're planning an access control improvement project in the long term, but in the short term, we need to begin planning future access, new access points that are submitted for developments such that they recognize that in the future there will be access control along the corridor. And what does that look like? Well, we need to plan for a raised median throughout the corridor. And then as a result of that, we'll need to plan to implement innovative intersections and intersection control treatments such as ride-in, ride-outs, R-cuts, intersection types that have physical restrictions to certain movements to prevent additional conflicts and to reduce crash frequency along the corridor. The third major category is a transit expansion strategy. As I mentioned, the corridor is not currently in the transit district, so that's a bit of a hurdle to making improvements and expanding the transit network. So in the short term, one of our recommendations will be to work through a strategy for addressing that, to remove that hurdle. Moving on to the long-term recommendations, a little longer list here, but very similar, similar in nature. So the first category are grade separations. We will recommend a new interchange at State Route 26, Louisville Road, and State Route 307. The current alignment, based on the traffic that we're seeing there in the forecasted numbers, would take US 80 over State Route 307. So the US 80 traffic would be unimpeded. And we have what's known as a single point urban interchange to connect 307 and 26. And I'll show you a graphic of that in just a moment. We'll also recommend a grade separation over Norfolk Southern's railroad, which is just to the north and east of Robert B. Miller. And then this one, I think we all expected, a interchange at State Route 21, whereby we'll take State Route 307 over the CSX rail line and also over State Route 21 and Augusta Road. And I'll show you a graphic of that in just a moment as well. From an access control perspective, I mentioned a raised median along the corridor. There's an existing raised median on the south portion, segment one, which extends from Ogeechee Road to I-16. The I-16 DDI that's under construction today will extend that median north of the intersection a bit, but we would need to pick up at that point and then extend the raised median throughout the remainder of the corridor to replace what is currently a center turn lane that's just basically a flush median. And again, the raised median would allow us to implement access control strategies and potentially reduce crash frequencies. As we install this median, we're obviously going to have to implement some innovative intersections with restricted access. And that would be done for driveways and side roads along the corridor. There's a potential to divide the access control project into two priorities based on funding and the availability of funding. So the first priority would be from I-16 to Louisville Road. As I mentioned earlier, that's the highest traffic segment. And also we're seeing a pretty high number of crashes in that corridor or that segment. And then priority two would extend from Louisville Road to Robert B. Miller. And then of note, there is existing raised median along the corridor north of Robert B. Miller. Next category is pedestrian and bicycle facilities. South of I-16, there are sidewalks that extend basically from Southbridge to Landfill Road. And we will recommend a project that would continue that sidewalk to Ogeechee Road on one side, but also add a shared use path on the opposite side. Another project that we will recommend is to convert one of the sidewalks that's on along the existing corridor to a shared use path. So these two projects together would complete a sidewalk on one side, a shared use path on the same opposite side from Ogeechee Road all the way to the new DDI. The new DDI also includes a sidewalk and a shared use path. So that gets us across I-16. When we implement the access control project north of I-16, you'll note we have bike and ped improvements recommended. That would carry the sidewalk and path all the way to new State Route 21 Augusta Road ramps that are part of the grade separation project identified here. And then finally, from a pedestrian and bicycle perspective, we will recommend adding sidewalks from these new ramps north across the bridge over the mega rail, which would require retrofit of the bridge to get the sidewalk extended all the way to 25 Ocean Highway, which would complete the pedestrian and bicycle facilities for the entire corridor. And finally, transit expansion. We know there's a need for transit along the corridor. As we get over that hurdle of the which is the transit district, we would begin to plan projects to expand transit along the corridor. A lot of information there, and I'm talking fast. I respect your time. I want to show you a few samples of what some of these intersections that I mentioned look like. Samples of access control or innovative intersections are right in, route out. This is an existing right in, right out intersection along State Route 21 at Parker's Kitchen. As you can see here, traffic leaving Parker's can make a right out. Traffic entering Parker's can make a right in, but there are no left turns to or from Parker's. And there obviously is no crossing movement. This is a T intersection, so there wouldn't be any crossing movements anyway. A sample R cut location. This is also along State Route 21, an existing intersection at the Water Filtration Plant Road, and Amazon Distribution Center is on this corridor, if that helps familiarize you with what the area that we're talking about. Similar to an R-cut, you can turn right in, you can turn right out. You cannot turn left from the side road. In either case, you can see right in, right out on this approach. However, you can make left turns from the main line into these facilities, so a little more access provided with the R-cut. And that stands for restricted crossing U-turn. So I want to show you a few more samples of what these recommendations look like, sort of in sketch view. This is a sample raised median section. So there's existing pavement here, and it currently extends through the center as a flush median today. So what our access management project would do north of 16 would be to widen slightly on the outside in order to incorporate a 20-foot wide raised median. And then we would be adding sidewalks to one side and a multi-use path to the other side, maintaining two lanes of traffic in each direction. This is a sketch of what the single point urban interchange might look like at State Route 307 and State Route 26. This is Dean Forest Road, State Route 307 crossing in this fashion. As I indicated, State Route 26, US 80, would maintain free flow access and would be extended across or over 307. And then you would have ramps to and from US 80 connecting to 307. This is known as a single point interchange because the traffic all from the ramps all pass through a single point at the intersection. And there's basically one signal operation controlling the whole intersection, interchange, I should say. This is a quick sketch of what the State Route 307 and State Route 21 interchange might look like. As you know, we're restricted on the west side of the road by the existing CSX rail line. So the intent would be to bridge over the rail line, bridge over 21, and then because we can't construct ramps on this side due to the proximity of the railroad, we would construct quadrant roadways to connect to State Route 21. Sort of an interesting project there. And something else interesting to note, our shared use path would be on the west or north side of State Route 307. And we would wrap that shared use path down to 21. So you have a shared use path connection directly to State Route 21. We think that would be a good feature for bicycle connectivity. So next steps, we're in the process of finalizing our alternatives and our cost estimates. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be meeting with some of the business community to perform some outreach there. We have a meeting of our stakeholder advisory committee yet. And then we'll be presenting our draft presentation in early February to, I think, three of the committees. Following those presentations and any input from the committees, we will update and make revisions to the report and the estimates and the projects, and then we'll be submitting our final report in the spring to wrap things up on the study. With that, I'm glad to entertain any questions. I hope I haven't run too long. My contact information is displayed if you want to contact me following the meeting. I'm glad to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, are there any questions from, excuse me? Okay, Commissioner Milton.
Tanya Milton, my question is, your recommendations, were they based on the survey that you launched?
So the recommendations are based on a number of things. We prepared existing traffic count data along the corridor. And then, I'm sorry, we prepared count location map along the corridor, and Georgia Department of Transportation was kind enough to actually do the counts for us and then to prepare forecasts for us based on our survey of the area to identify where business development would occur along the corridor. So we looked at every potential for development along the corridor and included traffic counts and data from those developments as part of our forecasting. Our public outreach to date has generated some input and comments. The initial meeting that we had with the community, which was to identify existing conditions along the corridor, was very positive. The community was very much in agreement in our findings. There weren't a lot of new issues identified along the corridor. So it seemed, based on that meeting with the public, that we had done a pretty good job with our field data research, as well as our forecasting data. So to say that it was solely based on community input would be a bit of a misnomer, but everything we put in front of the community during that initial existing conditions meeting, they very much agreed with. So I think we were in line with what the community wanted and what the community expected from the get-go. We will be compiling results of the PIOH online survey towards the end of this month. So we would certainly take any additional comments from the public into consideration at that time.
So that your survey is still open?
The one from the PIOH, that's correct. It is still open. We'll close it out at the end of this month.
So
we launched two surveys, one with the initial information, and that is basically tell us everything that you know about along the corridor so that we could help identify solutions. And then the second survey is, okay, here's what we heard. Here's the recommendations. Are we on point? And that second one is the one that closes at the end of this month.
Good deal. Thank you very much.
Yes, all right, ma'am. Any other questions? Thank you. Are we ready now to move into informational reports? All right. Effingham County. Richmond Hill. Pooler.
I'm nothing from
Garden City. Paul Wentworth. Tybee.
No report, Mr. Chair.
Bloomingdale. Thunderbolt.
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Brandenburg. Cat. Georgia Ports Authority.
No report, sir.
Savannah Airport Commission.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. This is Jim Mayo at the airport. Just a quick update on projects. Three current projects going on. We have a rental car facility. It's about a third through the project. That's being completed for security and customer service upgrades at the project or at the airport. Moving on to the next one is a drainage improvement project that is being completed in our southeast quadrant. We're adding additional stormwater capacity so that we can go in and do an ultimate build out in our southeast quadrant. And the last project is a cargo apron expansion. We are constructing 5 parking spots for Group 4 aircraft, which are cargo airplanes 757s or A300s. So that's a report from Savannah Airport Commission. If there's any questions, I can answer them. Thanks.
Thank you. Hinesville Area MPO. Nothing. All right, let us go to GDOT Projects status report.
Good morning, this is Katie. Pre-construction number 1 and 2 are bridge replacements in Port Wentworth on State Road 25 at Savannah River and Middle River. The next milestone is notice to proceed for preliminary design. It's anticipated in January. Number 3, State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road, anticipating notice to proceed for environmental and survey in mid-June and PFPR in September. Number 4, I-16 at Chatham Parkway, anticipating FFPR in February. Number 5, bridge replacement on State Route 404, US 17 at Back River. And number 6 is 404. Both are still in concept and working toward approval. Number 7, State Route 26, US 80 bridge replacement at Bull River. This schedule is now approved as of December the 6th. Environmental and preliminary design is continuing as before. Plans to shift right-of-way funding from 22 to 23. Number 8, Lazaretta Creek Bridge approved schedule. PFPR was held in October. Environmental field work is ongoing. Right-of-way plans are expected in early 22. Right-of-way in 23 is not anticipated to shift at this time. State Road 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive. Right-of-way is ongoing. Currently waiting on notice to proceed for design contract. Number 10, widening of Brampton. From State Road 21 to 21 Spur, scheduled to let in January. Moving to active. All continue to progress. No projects have been added. I have gotten updates since this report was sent in. Line 10, I-16 from I-95 to I-516. The construction is now at 26% complete. And line 11, Divergent Diamond is now at 5% complete. And just for informational purposes, Chatham and Effingham, this is Effingham Parkway. It let 5/21 and the notice to proceed was in October. Any questions?
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We'll go to Chatham County Project Status Report update.
Thank you, Chairman. I won't go over all of these. I'll just kind of hit some highlights. So we've completed the QBS process for both Chevis and Girard Avenue. So we have design contracts in place now with both VHB and Kimley Horn for those two projects. And notice to proceed is just pending the execution of the project framework agreement with GDOT. On the local projects, happy to say that right-of-way acquisition is now starting on Little Neck Road reconstruction project. The Islands Expressway at Oatland Island, operational improvements should start after the first year. We're expecting to get the environmental permit approved at the end of the year, hopefully, or early January. And then we can put that out for bid as soon as we get that permit approved. Other than that, On the next, under the construction projects, we do have the Robert McCorkle Trail upgrades has been awarded, and so we'll give them, we should be able to give them notice to proceed after the first of the year so they can get started. And that's it. If you have any questions about any of the other ones that I didn't mention, just let me know.
Any questions, board members? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Let's go to City of Savannah Project Status Update.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Barry Stanton with the City of Savannah. First project is the Lesseps Widening Project. This information has been updated, I guess, since we reported. The city now has the construction agreement in hand, and it's working its way through City Hall. Once all signatures are received, we will move to pre-construction meeting and then to construction. Second project is the traffic control center. This has also been updated. Procurement process will start first quarter 2022. Next project, City of Savannah, Duran Avenue improvements. Right-of-way preparation is ongoing. We're still addressing comments for the environmental impact statement from FHWA. Once those comments are addressed, we will move forward with the right-of-way acquisition process. The last project, Truman Trail, the PCE has been approved. There have been some slip in the schedule due to the PCE approval process. GDOT City MPC will be working towards getting the money to move with the schedule. That's all I have. Any questions?
All right, any questions for the City of Savannah? Thank you. CAP project status report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. I think what you have on the screen is slightly different than what we have before you or what we provided as the update. And so I'll just speak to that. I think you all have a copy of that. So for acquire of electric conversion, this is related to our electric bus purchase, and it is currently in the works. We do have a slight balance, and that will be used once we have our electric bus rollout plan. For item number two, buy replacement capital buses, the board recently approved the purchase of 3 diesel buses, and so we are in the process of getting those ordered. That's in the works. The next items are for our construction vehicle purchase electric buses. As I mentioned, coming before the board in December, we have asked the board, or we are asking the board, for approval of an electric bus rollout plan. So we will delay the purchase of the charging station and the last electric bus until that is completed so that we can have the deployment of the electric buses and have a plan for that executed. So we will wait until that's done. The next item for the bus facilities, we are currently in discussions about how to move forward with updates for our facilities at the Intermodal Transit Center. So we will have internal staff discussions regarding that so that we can move forward with that project. For the CAT Central rehab renovations, Grant has executed, and it's currently under legal review. So as soon as that's completed, we are planning to move forward with those renovations at the CAT Central facility. We are hoping that it will begin in early 2022, and it should be completed by the end of FY22. Our next item. is for our purchase of our ITS system. That's our major intelligent transportation system. We are eagerly waiting for the to have that launch. And we are hoping that kind of the target date is early FY22. So we're hoping in January or around the first quarter that we will be able to release that and everything will be finalized. We're currently under some testing phases. So we hope that we'll be able to do that. But around first quarter of FY22 is our target date. For our bus paratransit facilities, we keep on bus paratransit vehicles. We keep on hearing the urgent need of having those buses, and we all are aware of it. As you can see with our notes, as recently as 12/13, there is still a shortage that is out of our controls. You know, we have been in constant communication, our maintenance department, with the manufacturers. I did put a note on here of what they said. You know, it is a worldwide chip shortage. So it's just going just to force staff just to see if we can come up with another game plan of what we can do in the interim to get these moved. This is just recent as this week, so we haven't had that discussion yet, but this is urgent. We all know it's urgent. So we will have to decide what to do in order to get these vehicles ordered. It doesn't seem like it's coming up anytime soon, you know, for a relief for us. So we do need to come up with a plan, and we will have discussions regarding that. The items that are in blue deals with our ferry. As you can see, there are two grants that they have been executed, and they really kind of deal with our rehab. So it's an ongoing process for our ferry vessels as needed. So when there are needs or for repairs for the vehicles, that's why the grant is there. So that's why we use it when the vessel rehab. And the last three items, we are still kind of determining the feasibility to continue to rehab those vehicles. Recently, we're in the process of having two vessels purchased. And so we hope that will offer some relief, but in the interim, we will decide on the feasibility of continuing to have those rehabbed. That concludes the updates.
All right, any questions for Kat? All right, let me ask you about what I'm looking at on the screen.
Yes, sir.
Number four, said the hardware shall arrive before the end of November. Is that last November or November coming?
That was when I provided that. That was before the end of November. So that hardware has arrived and it's currently being tested. That's for our intelligent transportation system, Clever Devices.
So you expect to launch that in this month?
Well, it's still been delayed. They're still testing. So they're being tested on the vehicles right now. We have Clever on site and they are testing those with a few of the vehicles.
So you expect the rollout time?
Early FY22, first quarter of calendar year 22.
Okay, so we need to update that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you. All right, let us go with the last project update status.
Stephanie on? Okay, well, Stephanie provided this written report. So basically, US 17 widening is still going on. So
but she's not here?
Yeah, it's just interesting. She just read this report that she provided this.
Okay. All right, then let's go on now to the TIP project.
For the TIP project, the tracking, I just want to mention that you will see some continuously Chatham County, CAT, City of Savannah, and GDOT are providing the updates on as the project progress. I did add in some newly added. You see the highlighted sections. So those are the ones that we just processed the TIP amendments. So some projects awarded CRESA funds, some projects awarded additional Zetro 30 funds. So I just added those in. So in the next report, we'll just more updates on those.
Okay. Now, is there any information you need from any of?
So far, everybody is very, very working very well with us. So when I send the information, I send the project tracker to the city, county, CAT, and GDOT, and they all respond pretty fast.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any questions from any board member? Okay, let's go to other public comments. Do we have any? You didn't have any? Okay. All right, let's note the November administrative modification to fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP. All right.
GDOT requested two administrative modifications in October, both for bridge replacement projects at SR 25 at Savannah River and SR 25 at Middle River in Port Wentworth. One of them received a cost increase for the construction in fiscal year 22, and the other one received a cost decrease for the construction phase in fiscal year 22 as well.
All right, any questions? Is it? All right, the next core MPO board meeting will be February 23rd, 2021. That's 2022, isn't it? Okay, I got it. I saw it at 10 o'clock. All right, there's nothing else to come before the board. We didn't. Do anyone have anything? Any board member have anything that they need to come before us? Hearing none, shall we adjourn?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Dr. Shabazz. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday and a safe holiday.
All right, thank you. And let me from the chair's seat do the same. I wish you all the best, happy holidays, but stay safe. All right? They expect the uptake in the virus. Please, ma'am, please, sir, take all precautions. All right? With that, we stand adjourned.